Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Matt in Southbury.
Good morning.
Morning to you.
Growing up in New Jersey, we had a shop teacher who is a Vietnam veteran and also a Green Beret. So we were sitting in class, and they do the pledge every morning, and one kid didn't stand up.
Oh.
So he said, you stand and you pledge. And he said no to the guy. So he grabbed him by the throat, put him against the wall, and said the same thing. He's like, you say that pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
And his sneakers are going, like, moving. And he's off the ground.
Individual with liberty. And justice for all.
Right. So I guess he said the pledge, huh?
Yeah, did he say the pledge? Oh, we lost him.
Well,
we have his number. He's in the running. But and think about it. Back then.
Right. I think it would say, you know, you either stand or you're not going to stand at all. You're not going to walk anymore.
All right, tough teachers. Paul from Milford.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
I'm better now. Sixth grade.
Doesn't
Catholic
sound like
school.
It.
You sound like a picture of health right now. You guys.
Back in the 70s, back in the mid-70s, I wasn't singing loud enough. So the nun, she took the desk, flipped it over. I whacked my head on another desk, hit me with a closed fist, punched me, kicked me, threw a garbage pail at me, and I had to sit in a corner.
It was a WWE.
I went home, told my folks.
Right. Why wasn't there a WWE wrestler
right. That
was like the Nuninator?
Hey, it's Sister Vinny.
Oh my God.
Sister Vinny over here. You owe me money, hey, you bastard.
Put his garbage can. Hey, I'm almost 60. I'm still going for anger management issues. All because of that.
Right.
Man, and that's probably just one of many stories.
You dress in black and white, he cowers. Yeah.
Wow. Flips the desk over.
Well, I didn't even flinch. That really got him annoyed.
Pandemonium ensued.
Right. Sister Roids.
Wow. The garbage pail, the finisher.
Yep.
Oh, gosh.
That is tremendous.
Anyway, listen, everyone have a great day.
You too.
And you're in the running. We appreciate it.
He's been running, actually.
Holy crap.
Nuns on the run. Boom, 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 boom. Nuns on the run. You're screaming. Sorry.
That's tough stuff.
Seriously.
They're teaching about Jesus and right. His love.
Right. Beat the hell out of you.
You listen, or you will pay the price.
Right. Where's my money?
Man.
Where's my money?
I've heard a lot of stories like this. They're very tough. Almost military-like.
I heard they mean kneel on rice.
I've heard that. We've had that called in.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That
Which is a
painful.
Military, like a Vietnam torture technique.
Seriously. What's next up on Legos?
Is this Annetta?
It's Annetta.
Annetta. Hello, Annetta.
Annetta in North Haven. Good morning.
I had a fifth grade teacher, I don't want to say her name, she was a music teacher, and we were in a circle, all had different instruments, and there were a couple of xylophones out, and everybody was trying to play all together, and somebody was wrong or out of key, and she let out an expletive, and flipped the xylophone, so all those wooden bars went flying at us.
What a great sound.
Here's one, kid.
Who's out of key now, teacher?
Right. Wow.
We were all scared. We took off out of the classroom all the way down the hall. Like, she lost it.
It wasn't a marching band. It was a running band. All playing fast.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's wild.
The sound.
Yeah, she was a little wacky with her music.
That's where the song Band on the Run came from.
All right, you're in the running. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right,
thank
tough
you.
Teachers, 1-877-764-2535. These are the exceptions, right?
Yeah.
There's so many teachers who are great.
Right. Well, back in the day.
Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Right, you can't do this
And we
now.
Deserved it. Let's
There's
be honest
There's too many
here.
Cell phones. Yes, and we drove them to
We earned
point.
It, damn yeah. it.
A teacher is accused of taping a face mask on a 9-year-old student.
Just trying to help.
Let's go to KVVU TV.
9-year-old boy is demanding his substitute teacher be fired after she says that a teacher taped a face mask to her son's face when he did not wear it properly in the classroom. She spoke to us under the condition that we not use her name or show her face, worried her son could be further traumatized at school, but wanting other parents to know what is happening in one fourth grade classroom.
Further traumatized at school. Come on. For getting the mask taped onto your face, please. You know what kind of crap I went through when I was not traumatized? Relax, people. Back to you, Jane.
Do you think you weren't traumatized, or you just don't know?
I wasn't traumatized, no. Everybody throws a T word out there. Oh, my God, he's been traumatized! Oh, my God, they gave him a peanut butter sandwich. Now he's traumatized. Is he allergic? No, but he's had one. Yeah. Oh, my God, he had to walk into the school. No one actually carried him. He's traumatized. Oh, my God. My snowflake. Oh, my God, my child.
Okay, back to the report.
Yes.
I was furious. I was scared for my son on what kind of, like, long-term effect it's going to have on him socially.
Okay, hold on a second.
Long-term effect. Oh, my God. Really?
Would that really have a long-term effect?
No, yeah, like the end of the week. Yeah, some kid's going to think he's cool.
What's long in the kid's life, I guess, is the question.
Some kid's going to think he's cool. He's a rebel. You know, so he's going to make some friends over there. The other kids were just going to be jerks anyway.
There might be some girls winking at him.
Exactly, right.
Like, he's a bad boy. Right. I like bad boys.
Exactly, right. You know, the one who defied authority.
I have talked about Mrs. Powers many times on this show.
We're traumatized.
Kindergarten Elizabeth Shelton School.
Yeah.
And I could go through a laundry list of things, evil things. Like, if you saw a movie and she was the villain in the movie, you would say, wow, this person's horrific.
Well cast.
But once she wouldn't let me go to the bathroom, and I peed myself.
Oh.
Right in the class. And then she wouldn't have Mr. Wheeler come by and mop it up, the maintenance guy.
I hated high school.
I sat there all day with a puddle of urine underneath me.
Oh.
And my pants were wet.
Right.
Oh, I even moved my desk out of line just to try to cover the puddle.
Right. Were you traumatized?
No.
Oh, that's traumatizing.
That's sad.
He was not traumatized because he's, you know, tough. You grow up a bunch of, like, you know, come on, traumatized. Everything's traumatizing. They were supposed to have lunch at 12 o'clock. He had 12:05. He's traumatized. Yeah. Oh, my God. Life is tough and unpredictable.
I wasn't traumatized. I was embarrassed.
Exactly. There's a big difference. Embarrassment,
then
you get over it.
She's the one that should be embarrassed.
Right.
And everything's fine.
Everything's traumatized. Oh, my God, traumatized. Shut up.
Although, if I knew where she was buried, I would go and urinate on her grave.
There you go, Sam.
And wouldn't let anyone mop it up.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, Mr. whatever his name was.
There you go,
yeah.
Mrs. Powers.
Yeah, there you go. You like it so much? Now you're in trouble.
Oh, my God. And she was so old. I know I was a kid, but
how
I mean,
old was she?
Old where her hands were, like, she was old.
Oh, yeah.
Like, old.
She try and print and write script?
Like, if she slipped on that urine, she would have shattered.
Oh,
she
nice.
She was so old.
Shattered.
So definitely dead now.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, she's dead. She's been dead.
Or she's still drinking the blood of young boys. And she's alive somewhere.
It could be that.
Right, she's aging in reverse.
Right.
Okay, back to the report.
The fact that the entire class was laughing.
This mom of a fourth grade student at Reedham Elementary in Mountain's Edge says his substitute teacher stepped way over the line when the 9-year-old failed to properly wear his mask in class.
He went to get a sip of water, forgot to put the mask on. Teacher then...
Okay, hold on. And every teacher right now listening is sniffing this one out like, oh, no, that's not what happened.
Right. Oh, hell no.
Okay, this kid was defiant for, it was like, okay.
Substitute teacher, first week of school?
Yeah.
Thank you, God.
Right.
Yep. He's testing the boundaries.
This is my little angel didn't do it. He was just getting a sip of water and then didn't put it back properly.
He needed nourishment because he dehydrates quickly.
You know, if cops have to run around with the body cams on, there should be these cameras in school. So when the mom says, my child wouldn't do that. Oh, let's take a look. 13 minutes in. There you go.
Go to the videotape.
Take a look at your little angel right now.
Right. The one sitting fires to his desk. Yes. There's your angel right there, yeah. Yes, your little spawn of hell right over here.
Well, what kind of tape was it? Like scotch tape? That's no big deal. Or duct tape?
Duct tape's not big. Well, nah, duct tape's a little tough.
You've just heard AJ realize that if he said duct tape wasn't a big deal, he'd be duct taped in the next break.
We can still do that.
I don't be traumatized.
I did rip the gorilla tape off your body.
Yes, I know. And you liked it.
Okay.
Did not tell him to put it back on or send him to the office. She instead pulled him up in the front of the classroom in front of all of the students, and she then taped the mask across the top of his face.
The mom says the
sub top of his forehead?
Well, I'm guessing that the top part of the mask to it, you know, to his face.
She said the top of his face.
She did. Right.
That would be his forehead.
Well, she was traumatized
which makes
earlier.
No sense.
Yes, right.
He does not breathe out of his forehead.
Right.
Unless he's a dolphin.
Maybe. Mm. A little blowhole in the back.
Does anyone believe any of this?
No.
She didn't even ask him to put it on correctly.
I was thinking you staples next
She didn't
time.
Send him to the office. She didn't say put it on right.
Right.
Which usually means this is like the 17th time in a row we're having a conversation about your mask.
And it's only the first
specifically
week.
Right,
yours.
In 10 minutes.
Yep. I'm not doing this anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Come up here. We're going to show everybody how to wear it correctly now.
Have you thought of adhesive?
Here you go. Put it over your mouth.
Exactly. And then it has to stay here.
Or she said, oh, you can't breathe with the mask over your mouth? We'll tape it to your forehead. Then.
Watch this. Exactly right. Yeah.
At least you're wearing a mask now.
Now you look stupid.
Wearing a mask.
Now you look stupid.
Is everyone going nuts on me now?
I don't know.
Hello?
Hey, Chaz, it's Andre.
Hey.
So I used to substitute teach, man, and it is a thankless job.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough. It's
the
basically...
first thing I thought when I saw a substitute, I'm like, holiday.
Yeah.
Yep.
Movie day.
Yeah.
Oh, I am going to I am crazy, man, today. The class is counting on me to make everyone laugh.
Exactly right. It's up to me to
People
do that.
It's no up idea. To me.
Yep. I was
There's
that kid.
There's only two ways to approach it. You could either be a strict disciplinarian and go by whatever the teacher leaves behind, because that's what you have to do. You have to do exactly what they tell you to do.
Leave.
You can either try to be a strict disciplinarian, or you can just throw your hands in the air and say, screw it, not my kids. I'll just get through the day and whatever.
Right.
It's a fine line. But, you know, I always say that, you know, substitute teaching was the best form of birth control I've ever had. It's like, nah, I don't want any of these things.
Yep.
Ever.
Ever.
Yeah. You're a singer. Too bad you couldn't sing songs like. Because you could just say, I was just singing a song.
Right.
If you don't do that, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
Well, what used to work really well because I'm used to singing out and you know, I could project my voice. So whenever the kids would get loud, I would just like, you know, just yell. And they would just like stop in their tracks because I'd be very loud. Sometimes that worked, and sometimes, like, you know, I just say to them, I'm like, you know what, don't bother me today. I don't care what you got to do. Just leave me alone, and I won't bother you. And they look at me strange. I'm like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. You don't care. Let's all not care together.
All you got to do is say, one of you has a bomb on your desk, and it goes off when you talk really loud.
All right, stop.
Now, I don't think you can use that word in school.
Like a paint bomb, not explosive.
Yeah, yeah, okay. All right,
yeah,
Andre, thank you.
All right,
let's get back to this report. We're listening to a report from KVVU-TV. A teacher is accused of taping a face mask onto a 9-year-old student.
Added a second layer of tape from his nose to his forehead, and with tape still on his face, he went to the office to pick up homework he'd forgotten at home.
All right, hold on.
His dad dropped
off. Oh, okay, so she taped it going upwards.
Yeah,
so
no,
probably taped,
across. That was an extra piece of tape.
Oh.
So
she made
it was on like a... Yes.
Made a T.
So she went across over the mouth
right.
and then up from the mouth to the forehead so it wouldn't slide down.
The T is for traumatized.
So I have a feeling that the first piece of tape didn't work. The kid pulled it down like, ha, see?
Yeah, look at
it's
this.
Like, oh, really?
Watch this now. I'm a teacher. I'm smarter.
15 minutes later, the kid's a mummy.
And not causing any problems at all, now, is he?
Yeah. Right. Mm. Looks like it's in a little cocoon.
Look at that.
He'll remember how to wear it next time, though.
Leave it there for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Right.
Did you hear the other detail, though? He had to go to the office.
Right.
Forgot his homework. This kid's just having the best day.
So how was your day at school?
Like your day at work.
When he went to the office to pick up that homework is when one of the administrators noticed the tape on his face.
Alarmed, that administrator took the tape off of the child and alerted the principal, who went to the classroom to investigate, filling out this report.
And she saw another student, who she thought was my son, with tape on their face as well.
This mom later asked her son had other students also had their masks taped to their face. He said yes. It's been happening in his classroom since the beginning of the school year.
Right, hold on. He says
right, the whole week.
Okay. I may have to get off the teacher's bandwagon here.
Trust me, this kid earned it.
New evidence has been revealed.
And everything's traumatized. No, I'm with the teacher on this one.
Okay.
Yeah. You got to get things done.
I've moved into the neutral position.
Got to get things done.
Jess has entered the neutral zone.
Yeah. I'm in the neutral zone.
I'm stolen drive.
Yeah.
He says that he remembers up to five.
This mom says it is not a political issue.
He remembers up to five? Does that mean he's 9 years old and can't count past five?
Right.
That could be a problem.
It can be. That's why he's traumatized.
She has no problem with the mask mandate, but says nine-year-olds like her son are often forgetful and should never be punished, purposefully embarrassed in this way.
Oh, okay. My God. That was school. Every day was embarrassment of some sort. Either by another student, something stupid you did, or the teacher. Yeah. Welcome to school. Welcome to life. You're going to be embarrassed many times at work. You're going to be embarrassed many times in public. You're going to be embarrassed in bed, okay? It's going to happen.
Too far.
It's going to happen. Relax, people. It's all part of learning. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. Face paint for the kids. Cotton candy. Puppet shows.
It's like that promo where you hear me scream, welcome to life.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is what you're dealing with here.
Yeah. If anything, you're more advanced your age. You're getting embarrassed early.
And you also have the best story for this segment.
Exactly. Okay? Right. Later on in life, you'll win tickets.
Right.
He was very upset. He was crying. He was humiliated.
Fox 5 questioned the school district about this incident. They responded, quote, "The district is aware of the isolated incident and is dealing with the employee through the proper channels. The principal proactively notified the family of the investigation." But that's not good enough for this mom.
Of course not.
I don't think
normally they send out a letter to everybody, right?
Yeah. Or a mass email.
They say we're aware of a situation that happened in a whatever grade class, and we're investigating. Blah, 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 blah.
Or CSI are on it.
We're going to handle it the way. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, lots of words.
But this one's not good enough for her.
No, but just sending a letter home with one student just doesn't seem like a good idea. Because all the other parents are going to be like, what is going on over there?
Well, that's what's happening now, is the parents are talking, and now no one wants this substitute teacher in the classroom with their kids. Yeah. That's what's happening.
But you're also taking the word of a nine-year-old who was in trouble and saying
and
have
forgot
the other
his homework
kids.
That day.
Exactly. So that's, you know, right away the administration rolls over on the teacher. Maybe the kid is not telling the truth over here. Wait, kids what, don't think, lie? Wait, oh wait. My God, when did that start happening?
All right, hold on. You think the kid walking to the office without his homework said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tape my face.
No, I believe that the tape, the face got taped, but I'm thinking he's like saying that other kids got it too.
Right.
Because he's embarrassed, so if I make him seem like she's doing it to
well,
everybody.
According to the report, an administrator saw the kid in the office
and, they were alarmed.
And said, what's going on there? Teacher.
Right.
Oh, let's take a walk. She walks into the classroom, sees another kid with tape on his face.
Right. Just put the masks on. There you go. Done. Don't want tape in your face? Keep your mask on.
Okay.
I don't think this woman has any business teaching children, for one. Number two, I think parents need to know what's going on in the classrooms. It's crazy. Corporal punishment in school should not be happening.
Oh, really?
No, and I every teacher listening heard that parent say, parents need to know what's going on in the classroom. They're screaming at the radio, damn right you do. Yeah, you need to know how your kid acts. Some of them are great. Some of them not so great. And you think they're great. And then they don't do the work. And then you take them home and don't do anything. They show up unprepared. Right.
Right.
It's our problem. We're raising your kid. Those teachers spend more time with kids than the parents spend.
Yeah, it's true.
Sometimes. Not all times.
That one teacher.
You know, parents. You know when you're. You know, you're the good one.
That one, yeah.
You know, we're talking about the other ones.
That one, the other person,
one teacher. Not you.
Yeah.
The
no.
other ones.
Yeah.
You know who we're talking about.
The one that smells. That one. Yeah.
You think this kid can't pay attention because he had a year of Zoom school where he was allowed to play like Animal Crossing the whole time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like cartoons. That's a great point.
This is exactly what's happening. These kids are coming in like, man.
I don't have to listen to anyone anymore.
I didn't have to get dressed.
Nope. No school bus, no nothing.
Right. I barely stood in front of the computer.
Yep.
Why'd you forget your homework? Oh, it's just in the dining room. Oh, at my house.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And the mom also filed a police report about the teacher putting her hands on the student. She's also now looking at changing schools or possibly moving to a charter school.
Ooh.
Is that better?
I'm taking my kid to a place I can pay for it.
I'm going to leave.
Right. I'm going to charter school.
But the principal was like, please.
Yeah, really.
Help our teachers in those
Here's a couple of good ones. Right. Just a reference point.
Take one.
Take this paper.
Take seven with you when you go.
Yeah.
All right. What do we got here? Ah, people are going nuts.
Chaz and AJ.
Hi. Good morning.
Hey, you got a minute here. Then we're going to a song, and then we got dumbass news. Go ahead.
I think the teacher is trying to help the kids.
With the tape.
You know, because, you know, maybe he's trying not to punish them. Maybe he's trying to help them keep the mask on.
There you go.
See?
Doing
the service
here.
These strings are too loose for
doing
your
the service,
head.
Right. I'll make it fit better.
Maybe they had adult masks for the little kids, and he was trying to hold it on.
Now she stapled it on. Big difference.
How is Vegas? Yeah. This is Vegas, right? How is Vegas with the COVID rate? Just put in Las Vegas COVID rate. All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Well, you know, we all knew that the hamburger was invented in New Haven, Connecticut by Louis Lunch.
Yes.
I did not know the fish sandwich was invented here in Connecticut as well.
Wow.
You know, the world owes us a lot.
They do.
I didn't know this until D'Amato Seafood started running a commercial. And Anthony D'Amato, patriarch of the family, made the claim that they invented the fish sandwich. Anthony's on the phone right now. Anthony!
Hey, yo, Anthony!
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey, how you doing? How you
girls, doing? Good morning.
Morning.
I'm good. How's everything, all right?
Great. You know, good, there's something good. Right about getting seafood from an Italian seafood market.
Seems authentic.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been in it a long time. Family started in 1933.
Wow, 33. So before 1933, no one put fish on bread.
We couldn't find it anywhere. My daughter-in-law and my son tried looking it up and checked everything. As far as we could see, I think my grandfather was the first one to start putting fish on toast.
Nice. Right,
let's and we always use toast. We never use white bread.
Nice. Oh. Let's play a part of the commercial.
Go ahead.
The secret is out. My grandfather created the fish sandwich, and I want to honor that. Hi, Connecticut. I'm Anthony D'Amato of D'Amato Seafood. In 1933, my family opened a seafood stand at Savin Rock. Luckily, they were so busy, my grandfather couldn't stop working to take a lunch break. So he grabbed a piece of hot golden fried filet with two pieces of toast, and the rest is history. Follow D'Amato Seafood on Facebook to see...
I love that.
And they put like tartar sauce story. And cheese too, or just like just fish.
You know whatever what? They want. We give them the tartar sauce on the side, lemon hot sauce on the side.
Nice.
If they want cheese, we do put cheese on the sandwich, but everything else they put on themselves.
It's interesting. Here at this position yesterday, we were talking about how 1991 was a great time for rock.
Yep.
The 70s was a great time for rock. The 1930s was a great time for food in Connecticut. So many things started.
Yeah.
Pizza, you name it.
The fish sandwich.
The fish sandwich.
Clearly, yeah.
I like hamburgers.
A lot of these things start by accident.
Yeah. I'm in a rush. Someone's in a rush. Yeah.
So what happened? The fish was too hot?
Yeah. So my grandfather, we were down Savin Rock, and he opened up a little stand in front of the house. And he started cooking, and people were coming in. It was very busy. We're right in on the corner of Campbell and Beach, right near the beginning of the Rock in those days.
And that was and like a, was that like a Coney Island then? There were
yeah,
rides.
It was. There was the flying horses. You had Virginia Reel. You had a roller coaster. They had fun houses. It was great. It was really nice. And we grew up there. We lived next door. my grandfather had bought a two-family house right on beach, and then my father bought next door, and then my grandfather bought a house across the street.
Like a compound.
So the whole family lived in that area.
Right.
So he was cooking up a storm, and the fish, when it comes out of the fryolators, it's 375 degrees, the oil, the grease, and it's so hot that he was going to eat it, and it was too hot for him to hold. So he just picked up a piece of toast, put it on the toast, and he started eating it. And at that point, like we said, it was somebody came in and they said, "Hey, what are you eating there?" And he said, "Oh, I just put a piece of filet on toast." And they said, "Well, is that on the menu?" My grandfather said, "No, but I'll make you one."
It is now.
and that was it.
Yeah.
Then on, it was on.
Nice.
And we've been selling them ever since.
Why toast and not, why haven't you tried other breads?
You know, I don't know. Most of the people get it on toast. We always, we try to keep the tradition the way my grandfather did it.
Right.
You know, everything was fresh. He always used toast. We always used toast.
Something about toast
some
back
people,
then. Were there no hard rolls then? Because you didn't
I don't
want
remember
the bread because your
rolls.
Fingers would go through the soft
they,
bread.
Right.
And they so had Italian toast. Bread, but,
because it was the same thing with Louis' Lunch. They still make the burgers on the toast because
yeah.
that's what
right.
they use.
You know,
toast.
Right.
The funny thing was we had the same exact toaster, the Savoy toaster that we had.
That's incredible.
That's awesome.
That is great.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah. We had the same exact one. And so it was great. You know, it was nice growing up down there and we try to keep the tradition going with the family business. It's more of a family type people. All our customers come in; they're friendly. We, it's more like a one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It makes a world of difference.
Yes, it does.
It does. It really does. And,
when you walk through the
door, down there,
you go back in time.
Right.
You go back in time to where you'd walk into a shop, and there's the owner, and there's his family.
In like 3 years, Marty Scorsese might shoot a scene there or something,
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you're right. It is. And it's nice. You know, we get to know everybody. We have different generations now. We've been in it so long that, the customers come in and they'll tell us that, well, my grandfather used to come to you, then my father, and then my mother, and then we have the children coming to us now. And it's nice. It's very nice. I try to get down there, once in a while and hang out and help the kids a little bit and say hi to all our customers. And it's more of a family-type friendly business than, a big box store where you go in and nobody even looks at you anymore, you know?
When you get shrimp from a seafood restaurant like yours, how many hours were they in the water? You know what I mean?
Well, the shrimp, the way you buy shrimp now, you never really get fresh shrimp. They're all frozen because they come out of, we get them out of the Gulf and we use a wild product, not a farm raised product.
Right.
And we also do the same thing my grandfather did. We peel them, devein them ourselves, and then we bread them and fry them. A lot of places today, they buy them peeled and deveined and there's a lot of chemicals in them. And we don't like the taste of those shrimp. Our shrimp is a natural Gulf shrimp. Like I say, we have a machine that
the
we...
The vein is the poop.
Yeah.
You got to
get
it out
right.
of there.
Yeah, you don't want that in there. You don't want to eat that.
No, you don't want to eat that. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's not healthy. But what we do is we... years ago, I bought a machine that peels them and deveins them.
Oh! And how much is that? I need that for my kitchen.
Yeah. Wait, you shelled them?
They
seem kind of crunchy.
Yeah, we put them in... As fast as you put them in the machine, it peels them and deveins them. And then we go through them, make sure they're nice and clean and everything, and then we use them at that point. And they're excellent. You got to try them. I'll have to bring you some samples to taste.
I was
one
late
of these
to
days.
The seafood party because my extensive seafood knowledge as a kid, not having a lot of money, was tuna fish and fish sticks.
Right.
So the first time I had shrimp, I'm on this date at the Panama Inn in Bridgeport, and they had the biggest shrimp. They were known for their shrimp. So I take this girl there. She's like, "Let's have some shrimp." I'm like, "Okay." They put it on the plate, and I'm eating it. And she's like, "What do you think?" I'm like, "It's really crunchy and hard to swallow."
Right.
She's like, "You're supposed to take the shell off."
Oh, God.
It's like Daryl Hannah and Splash when she ate the lobster.
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. That's funny.
It's much better with the shell.
Oh, I can taste it. I'm not bleeding from my mouth anymore.
Why would somebody eat this?
I like that you were being polite. You're like, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something.
Well, you live and learn.
Crunchy show.
That's it.
Lobsters, yeah. How do you cook them?
Go ahead. The lobsters, we just fry the tails. We get the lobster tails, the main tail we use, and we crack them out of the shell fresh, and we bread them, and we fry them.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we give you some butter on the side or cocktail or lemon, whatever you want.
When you cook them, do you put them in the pot still alive?
No, we don't boil them. We fry them. So what we do is, so they're... It's just the meat, the lobster meat itself, the tail.
Okay.
And then we just crack it out of the shell. They're raw at that point.
Okay.
And then we bread them, and then we fry them.
Okay.
So I was talking to the Stefanowskis, and we had lobster over at their house.
Oh, yeah.
And I think Amy Stefanowski's grandmother said, you know, before you put the lobster in the pot alive, in the boiling water, you would, like, rub it. It's either its back or the back shell.
And
And that would hypnotize it, and it wouldn't feel anything.
Okay.
And I feel like that's not true. That's just something you tell your kids, and they feel better about the process.
They're screaming. Yeah, actually, it volunteered to jump in.
It doesn't feel a thing. Watch, I'll do this, and it's still make a noise, but it doesn't feel anything.
Yeah, it's saying thank you.
My mom would get the live lobsters for Christmas Eve because we have the big Italian seafood.
Oh, yeah.
That has to be your busiest week, right?
Christmas week is unbelievable. We do a lot of frying. We make stuffed clams, stuffed shrimp, stuffed lobsters.
Wow.
We even do a crab sauce that we make.
You got the bacala or no?
I love crab.
No more. Nobody buys it anymore.
Why did we buy it?
You know what it is.
Bacala is awesome. I love it.
we do fry a little bit of it, but it's that's a product that they don't even, that, you know, nobody knows anymore. The old time Italians years ago, you know, they used to make it all different ways. They used to fry it. They used to make a salad with it. You know, like the scungile salad,
we still
the calamai salad.
Oh, scungile salad. Love it.
I love it, too.
That's great stuff.
Oh, we make it fresh. I don't do it much anymore, but we used to do it years ago. But it's like I say, even that, a lot of people don't even want anymore.
Yeah.
It's funny how things change, you know, through the years.
They made too many jokes about bacala. That's what happened.
Yeah. What I want to know is, if you put lobster tails on the grill, how come mine reanimated and started doing acrobatics on me? I put them on there, right, to grill them, and all of a sudden I'm hearing, thoom, thoom, I'm hearing,
are they dead?
On the inside, right? I open it, and the damn thing's doing backflips. They're flopping all over the place. Why did that happen?
What's that? What are you cooking?
I was cooking lobster tails, just the tails. They were fresh.
The tails, yeah.
And I put them on the grill, and then all of a sudden, after a few moments, they just started
flopping
jumping
around.
Ah. I don't know. I never had that, but was it a whole lobster or just the tail?
Just the tail. It was like
well, they curl up a little bit.
It was curling up and was unfolding and curling up and goes.
No.
It was looking like acrobats all over the damn place. I freak out. I'm like, I'm eating this stuff. No.
Yeah, they do. They do crawl when you. There's ways of opening them up and pulling the meat out and put them on the grill so they don't. You put them the opposite way.
Okay. Yeah.
You cut the tail lengthwise and then you put those cuts down.
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't do that. All right, that explains why it became like clearly a circus.
The acrobats. It's Circus Soleil on the grill.
I didn't eat one of them. I'm like, I am not eating these things.
Hey,
I came back to life.
Thanks for coming on. We appreciate it. And thanks for being part of the family here.
Oh, thank you very much. We appreciate you guys, too. You do a great job in the morning. We love listening to you guys.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you so much.
And, we'll get together one day. We'll make you lunch. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right.
Pants.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
You, too.
Okay. Nice man.
Anthony D'Amato. Anthony.
Hey, what's D'Amato?
D'Amato Seafood. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing?
July 10th, 1980, one of the most famous concerts took place at Toad's Place, and this guy was behind the drum kit. It's Billy Joel's ex-drummer, Liberty DeVito. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay. I've been listening to some of the ads that are going on, like, before I come on the air.
Yeah.
I love the term residential trash.
That'd be a good name for a band, wouldn't it?
You should call your band that, residential trash.
I love it.
That's a great name for a band.
Yeah. Are you on a cell phone, Bluetooth? What do we got here?
I'm on a cell phone.
Oh.
All right.
No good.
And are you in a daycare center? What's going on there?
Why, do you hear Sesame Street in the background?
I do. I really do.
Are you here too?
Okay. I hear lots of noise and not a great phone. Do you have a landline anywhere close by?
I do.
Is someone screaming?
Is that Cookie Monster?
I heard Cookie or Grover.
Just, you know, I have to have the Sesame Street is on my phone, the app, and she's watching it. And
while you're on the
phone? Want me to call you back?
You got to date older women.
Now, whoa, you guys are good today.
Who's watching Sesame Street?
I have a 4-year-old.
God bless you.
Yeah, cool.
What's the letter of the day today?
It's not up to that yet.
Working up to it. Working up to it.
Okay, what can we do to make this better? Do you have a landline?
I do.
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold, and Phil's going to get that number.
All right.
Okay.
This is so fun.
I think this might be better.
We want you to sound near, not far. Near, not far.
Liberty DeVito, member of the Lords of 52nd Street.
He's old. Awesome.
And Billy Joel's ex-drummer. And he was every famous Billy Joel song you've ever heard, he's playing the drums on it.
Right.
Do you remember that night at Toad's Place?
I do.
Awesome.
I remember it well. The stage was uneven. I remember they had to add a little piece of wood because of Billy's piano.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he wanted to roll away during performance. The song's called Get Back Here!
Down Chapel Street. There's Billy!
What's wrong? Pressure!
So you guys were selling out arenas. You guys were one of the hottest rock bands in the world at the time. And then what Billy says, let's go and play some small clubs and record a live album and reintroduce some of our older stuff. How did that go?
Well, the reason why we did that was some of the songs actually sound better in a club than they do in an arena. Like, I Love These Days sounded great in an arena. Los Angelinos is a club song, definitely. Say Goodbye to Hollywood sounds good in an arena because of that beginning boom, boom, boom. You want it to be big. But songs like Miami 2017 sound better in a club.
Nice.
So that's why we did both club and arena. And Billy, you know that first album that he had out, what was it called? Cold Spring Harbor?
Yeah.
He didn't want anybody making money off that, you know, the guy that already ripped. So he figured if we did some songs live and put them on a live album, people would buy those tunes instead of that, you know. So She's Got Away, Everybody Loves You Now, those were on that album.
It sounds like you're at a nut house.
I can't believe you can focus. Animal House.
If you had a child's voice, I'd be like, oh, he's watching Sesame Street.
Well, he's
but
used
an
to it.
But it's an adult with craziness in the background. Well, it's Liberty DeVito, and he sounds like he's in a nut house.
I've been institutionalized. Yes, I'm actually duct taped to a chair right now.
With the phone taped to your face. Gotcha.
Your mask taped to your face.
What a great concept for an album is to go back and get some of these songs that the public missed, re-record them, some in small clubs, some in larger venues, but to reintroduce us to these songs.
She's got a way about her.
So what are you doing during this song? You're just sitting there like...
I actually can remember leaning on my monitor, standing up behind a drum set, watching him doing it and thinking in my head, wow, this is the best he's ever done it.
Wow.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow. Yeah. I just got chills. Wow. Yeah, because you had that perspective. You know, you're playing, but also you're witnessing, you know, one of the greatest singer-songwriters of all time.
And
perform
I'm
every
it,
night.
And he's coming through my monitor, which is, the monitors are right behind me, so I can hear him. So I'm getting it, you know, firsthand, and he's probably 10 feet away from me at this, in Toad's Place, you know?
Yeah. Was that wild for you? Like, you guys are playing arenas, and then here you are, and the audience
you know, 15 feet away, 700 people.
No, I actually, we also always felt that we were more of a bar band than an arena band. It just so happened that, you know, the promoters like to sell a lot of tickets and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When you get to, like, the stadiums and stuff like that, it was boring because you can't see any of the crowd. You can't see past the first two rows in an arena, you know, because the house lights are out.
Yeah.
And you're just seeing whatever light is lighting from the stage lights. But in a club, you can see everybody, you know, and the reaction, their faces, everything. I love playing in clubs.
Wow.
When did you know you were playing Toots? Did you know weeks out, the day before?
Do we know what? Say it again?
Yeah, if you turn Sesame Street down.
You got to say like Grover.
Hey, listen, Bert and Ernie are active right now. So well.
Hey, Bert.
How long before the Toads Place show, July 10th, 1980, did you know you were playing Toads Place? Was that something you had planned far out, or did you know just a couple days?
The promoter, you know, I mean, the agent, he had a book dates in clubs and dates in, arenas. So okay. The tour was scheduled around all that stuff.
It was a surprise to New Haven, because I remember exactly where I was. It was in the afternoon. Eddie Wazoo did the afternoon show. He cracks the mic and says, we just got this in, ladies and gentlemen. Billy Joel is playing Toad's Place tonight. There's a limited amount of tickets, and they go on sale right now at the Toad's Place box office. And I just thought to myself, one, damn it!
Right.
I'm not old enough to drink yet.
Right.
And two, I thought, wow, there's going to be a lot of speeding cars towards New Haven right now.
Should have shot a starter pistol off in the air. Go!
Well, it's always been a great club, you know.
Yeah.
It had a great reputation, you know, great sound, and that could be, added more sound to it if we brought some sound in. So it was a great club. It was kind of like the Stones playing the Elma Combo after. You remember when they did that and they recorded it?
The Stones played Toads.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Did they record there, though?
No.
That they did not do.
Yeah, I think the Elma Combo in Canada or something like that they recorded.
But we
played a couple of clubs, but I mean, Toad's Place is the one where most of the songs came out that got on the album.
It's funny, you know, Connecticut's 14 miles away from Long Island. There's water there. But we're really, it's almost like Long Island cracked off from Connecticut.
Right. Simpatico.
Yeah, and a little water got in between us.
A little bit.
But we feel so connected to, like, New York music, New Jersey music. So it's almost like you're playing home when you're playing Connecticut.
Oh, yeah. The tri-state area is, like, you know, wonderful for us.
Do you ever...
You know, Connecticut's always been great.
Liberty DeVito is on, ex-drummer for Billy Joel, but member of Lords of 52nd Street. Coming this Saturday... it's a music in a dinner theater format. You are playing at, where the hell are you playing?
The St. Barbara Greek Church Hall?
Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
In Orange.
Yep.
Orange, yes.
Yep, exactly.
Last time we did a show for this, we played outdoors
in the parking lot, the old Sears.
The pandemic started.
Yep, I was there.
Hmm.
It was in a Sears parking lot. We've really come up from arenas and Toad's Place to a Sears parking lot.
Yeah, you left the truck.
Are you playing?
What's happened to my career? I'm watching Sesame Street and I'm playing a parking lot.
You have arrived.
So this deal that you're... The Lords of 52nd Street, by the way, Billy Joel's original backup band.
Yeah.
Yeah, myself, Richard Cannata, Russell Javers. And then it is enhanced by Malcolm Gold, who played bass. He was the musical director on the Moving Out show, and so was Dennis Delgadio, plays guitar. He was in Moving Out. And, you know, we got this great guy who does Billy spots.
They sound amazing. Orlando. Amazing.
Yeah, I really, you can almost, like, you can't tell the difference.
Seriously,
I don't want to say
cannot,
that.
No.
And you guys play all the hits, right? A couple deep cuts?
Well, hits, deep cuts, you know, the stuff you want to hear. And we play it with the energy of the 70s and 80s.
They do. They really do.
Can you tell me how to get to 52nd Street?
You can slap him in the head if you want, Liberty. You can slap him in the head.
Right. It'll start sunny day.
So this Saturday is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and you guys are going to be paying a special tribute.
Beautiful.
Yeah, we usually do like a Night Saigon to honor those that we lost and those that went, or the servicemen, and we get some service guys up there to sing the chorus.
Oh, wow.
That's beautiful.
That's great.
Yeah.
So go to MilfordPerformanceCenter.org if you'd like tickets. It's 5:30 to 10. It's music in a dinner theater format, St. Barbara's Greek Church Hall, Race Brook Road in Orange. We'll let you get back to your Sesame Street episode.
Yeah, don't miss the count.
You know, yeah, because of you guys, I missed half of it already.
One right. Interview, two interview,
Listen, if you don't own a letter a day, you lost.
That is true.
For today, it's F and U.
Liberty, thanks so much for coming on. We're always honored to have you. And have a great show Saturday, brother.
It's always great to talk to you guys.
Nina Marie Garcia has a front door ring camera that recorded the moment a hospice delivery service tried to drop off an elderly woman on a gurney on Garcia's porch.
Really? Will you just like put her in the little mail slot or what? Just put her under the mat. We're good.
The woman on the gurney can be heard telling the driver he has the wrong house.
Good for her.
That's the worst.
Good for her.
It's unclear where the video was taken.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Hi. I was bringing in.
$2,400.
This is.
$2,497.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You want her anyway?
I'm here.
I should have already been fed.
I'm done for the day. This is the end of my day. So
now I got to load her back in the truck again.
Wow.
I mean, I can see a package, but this is a person, for God's sake.
This is not ours.
That'd be the weirdest group text for your neighborhood.
Right.
Hey, anybody see a grandma on a gurney?
Supposed to be here.
It was supposed to be delivered today.
Right. They said between, like, you know, 3 and 10.
Have you done that with, like, an Amazon package where you text your neighbor and it's like, yeah, you get that, you get a box?
No, they always show you, they always show you the picture when they drop it off and where they dropped it off. I'm like, that's my neighbor's house. I got to walk over. And now I look like a porch pirate coming over, taking the package off their porch and walking away with it.
So sometimes I get the picture, but sometimes I just get the, your Amazon package has been delivered.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see it.
Yeah, I prefer the pictures where I know where the hell it is. I'm like, yep, that's my rotted front porch right there. With the door about to fall off. Yeah, that's my house right there.
I recognize that broken, rotted board right, anywhere.
When I see a really nice house, I'm like, oh, crap, that's not my house.
Not mine. Wow, that's sad. She's close to, well, she's old.
She's a hospice.
Yeah, right.
Hospice she's,
usually,
you know,
and hospice is, you know, you, it means you're close to the end.
Yeah, you would think, you know, in those days you're treated carefully, not just dropped off someplace.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a parking lot.
You would like to think that.
She was very polite.
Very polite. I'm like, I'm going to use my last bit of strength to strangle your ass.
That's interesting, though. I mean, she knew exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She was very aware that it was not her house.
I heard afterwards she drove. Forget I'll drive.
She drove just on the gurney. Didn't even get back into the car.
Right.
She's like, I got it from here.
Right.
Yeah. Just roll me down.
I can pedal this. Yeah.
Right. She just kind of held up a sign and said the address on the side of the road.
This is not ours.
Yep.
This is not ours?
This is not ours.
How many people are on the gurney?
Right. Is he sitting on her?
Yeah.
I told the driver.
I told the driver.
I told the driver.
I told the driver.
Yep.
All right, the driver's the dumbass here. It's like, yeah. I told the driver.
Exactly. You just try to dump her off on somebody else's porch.
Yeah.
in a gurney.
He was running out of gas.
Close to death.
Right.
Like, what if that's the moment she died? They can't say she died peacefully at home surrounded by family. No, it would be she died on a neighbor's porch.
Right. Stranger's rocking
alone
chair.
Alone with a stranger.
Her dead hand pointing towards the number of the house.
Near a wind chime.
Right. Her last breath made the wind chime go off. Yeah, we're going to hell.
God forbid. I mean, you know.
Yeah, and I.
It's a beautiful thing when you read that they died at home surrounded by family. It's like, right. This is
their
all
own
anyone,
home, though.
Yeah. This is all that anyone wants. Yeah, their own home.
Yeah, not in the side of the road.
Died
somewhere.
Exactly.
At
yeah.
a stranger's yeah. porch.
He died in a parking ride.
Yeah. Her last words were, "This is not ours."
Right.
I told the drop.
Right. We found her in a parking ride in the third space.
This is not ours.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I think you got to be a little bit better.
Yes.
A little bit more accurate.
Right.
When you're delivering.
At least try.
Yeah.
It's not DoorDash.
Well, we do that. What the hell is it that delivers the food?
Uber Eats?
Nope.
Grubhub? Meals on Wheels?
Grubhub. Nope. Nope. Which?
DoorDash?
No.
Uber Eats.
No, I'm sorry. You guys are thinking all prepared takeout food.
Oh,
groceries.
Right.
Peapod.
Oh, Peapod.
No.
Instacart.
Boom.
Like,
in our defense, you didn't say if it was cooked or not.
Survey says.
But you went to all the junk food delivery services.
Of course we did.
I said Meals on Wheels. I didn't know if you met an old person. I was like, what?
It's like a game show. What do I win?
We covered everything but.
I know.
By the way, that would be a great name for a food delivery service, Meals on Wheels. But we had our groceries delivered to the next door house. Like, you can't. Look, our street is our street, and the number is right at the end of our driveway.
Yeah, I only have like three houses on your street.
There.
Yeah.
Right. So luckily, our neighbor didn't even know whose groceries they were. She's pregnant, brought them all into her house.
Oh, and that's nice.
Put the stuff that should be refrigerated in her refrigerator.
Oh, wow. Right.
And then cooked them earlier and ate them.
That's a neighbor.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
This was on my porch. I made you guys some grilled chicken shish kebabs.
Right.
Don't worry. Don't have to eat them if you don't like.
Right. There was beer here. Yeah, that didn't get delivered, no.
Yeah, that didn't make it over
here.
Didn't see that.
They didn't drop it off, no.
Yeah. Mike, the institute. Nope.
Right. Seemed kind of hammered there, Mike.
See, they're the people. If your grandma's going to be delivered to the wrong house, you want her delivered there. Oh, yeah, she's inside resting comfortably. We got the air conditioning on. She's watching her favorite show.
We gave her a tea.
Right.
She's got some hard candy.
Right.
She's happy.
You deliver it to a funeral home.
Mm. This is not ours.
Yeah.
Boy, that's that voice, too. That's you've been around a long time. Your vocal cords are tired.
Yep.
Frail.
Well, she was yelling the whole time to slow down.
Slow down, damn it. What's that now?
She was yelling the whole time to the guy to slow down.
Oh, she was yelling the whole time. Sorry.
Right. He's in a rush to get rid of her, obviously.
I got you. Give us a break. Too close to the car in front of you. I'm grabbing the door handle. That's a red light, red light, red light.
I like the guy. This is embarrassing.
It's not going to look good on a resume at all.
2497.
Oh.
Hike.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
It's okay. You try to deliver an old lady to my house.
It's okay.
It's just, fine.
Just take her away now.
Right. It's fine. Yeah. Yeah. With
take
you.
Her with you.
With right. you.
Goodbye.
Back in the truck.
Yeah. Roll her down the steps.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.